And gentlemen, I do have callers. Joe's going to be on next, but I do need to fill this 5 minutes up with something important, and that is that all the forgive me, because I expect you ladies to get upset, and some of you not, but I do wish you'd call me and don't repress it, and tell me, you know, what you think, in an appropriate way, I hope. So, but let me say it again. All the misery, not just a little bit of it, but all the misery on earth, as it is in hell, comes through women. But not by her fault, by the failure of the man to say, put down the fruit, Eve, but because he's born of woman, there's something missing in the man. And if there's something found there, it's the extension of the woman, so that he becomes a man full of anger with a woman's identity. Yes, hungering for the love, which isn't love. That means the love from Eve, because every woman is an Eve, looking for a man to love the hell out of her, and not to abuse her, but to love her gentility, her soul, as a preservative of the soul, as a guardian of her spirit, not the violation of her spirit through your wanton need. Is that clear? Did I put the emphasis on the women? I put the emphasis on the men. The women cannot help themselves any more than Adam, having eaten the forbidden fruit, could help himself, because Eve and the dark side of that was infecting him. And when God came, as if he didn't know, to say, have you eaten of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, whereas you might live forever, he made an excuse and, in a sense, said, Eve made me do that. That is in keeping with what I said in the whole of the program, the last hour. I've said that in a short form. And unless men stop using and misusing their wives and their girlfriends, we shall not have left anything, not ourselves and our country. Only the dark side of the force will make you think sex is love. It isn't love. And food is love. But it isn't love if it brings you down and calls upon you to lift you up in a feeling. See? That's all I'm trying to say to you. So we had a very good first hour. So what about the second hour? Do I hear some person disagreeing? Will you please call me and tell me you don't understand me, or I'm a stupid ox or something, and show me where I'm stupid? I can be taught things if you just have a good tone in your voice, and you can correct me. I'm not beyond being corrected. So I'm not beyond being rebuked. So, in another sense, in this Christian sense, is, I don't know, I can't remember how it was now. Yes, sort of, I can't read it, can't read my own writing. So, the program, the 5 minutes, I'm asking Joe to wait, is over, and we'll take our first thoughts.
Give your number.
First call, 800-866-8883. 800-866-8883. Subject matter, intrusive thoughts, which is very common. So let's deal with it. Okay.
Okay. Well, you never know.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Hello, everyone. Welcome us again to the program. We got our first caller. We've been waiting 5 minutes. Thank you very much for your courtesy. Right, Joe in Massachusetts. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Roy.
Hello.
Your sound has kind of dropped out. I've been online for a while. And
sorry.
Anything you can do? Oh, that's better. Yeah.
I just have to move closer to the microphone, and maybe an inch makes a difference.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. You had a special call this week that jolted me. I hardly ever get jolted listening to your show, but the woman was washing the baby, and she had an intrusive thought of how easy it would be to strangle the baby.
Oh, yes, and she's a nice lady.
Yeah, no, right. I've had that, and I was, about 10 years ago, I was at having lunch with a friend. And he was just telling a story. And I remember I was calm. I wasn't anything. And all of a sudden, this voice came, punch him in the face, just out of nowhere. And I panicked a little. I'm like, I felt this pressure. I didn't do it. But it just came from nowhere. And it was like, I can't tell you. It was like something was in the room that wasn't there before. And I remember I started to panic, and I started to, and he was telling a story, an innocent story about stuff, and I was interested. I wanted to hear it. And it came again, punch him in the face. And I didn't do it. I just feigned. I was a little sick or something, and I panicked a little, which meant I was probably hating the voice. I really didn't understand it.
Yes.
But then, did you want to say something?
No, I'm listening. I wanted to see what you've learned from it. So
then, about 6 months ago, it shows you where I've come from. I was walking into a CVS, and I know
what is a CVS.
In my own soul.
I don't know what that is. What's the CVS?
Oh, CVS drugstore chain.
Oh, I see. Okay,
big drugstore chain. And I know in my own soul that I was calm, and you're aware when you know you're aware.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew I was. It was a peaceful morning. I was calm and everything. And I walked into the store. There weren't many people around. And all of a sudden, a heavy-set woman came out from one of the aisles. And in my head, immediately blurted, "Fat pig."
Yeah.
But I knew. And I walked around the store kind of dazed. I wasn't. And I knew what I said. Now I know that's not me. Because I'm calm, I had no animosity to this person, I didn't know this person, I wasn't offended by anything about her, but I knew it wasn't me. And that kind of backs up, you and David have been talking recently about, it isn't you. And I had this aha experience where I knew that I did not say or think, because I was calm, my mind was totally yes. on a sea of placidness, and I wasn't hostile. I, a lot of times you're stressing out over things and you have bad thoughts.
Yes.
And I wasn't. I was very calm.
Yes.
And I saw this as not me, but I didn't know what to do with it. I go, it's not, I know it's not me, but just keep meditating. And what I do
is
scared at
you, it.
It
seemed like you have come to the end of your explanation. I waited, but there's something is missing in your dialogue. And it does happen. It will take you by surprise. And the danger of that, now you have another opportunity, so don't worry. But now that you know that you are possessed,
yes, that's what it is. I agree with that.
Okay, and you do not know from whence it came, it's all right. You don't need to know for the moment. The only thing you need to know is that wasn't you. And so, therefore, there will come another time when it will happen again, but differently. It may do the same thing, or I mean, may maneuver and do something different. But whatever that is you deal with it with perfect immunity. Meaning
perfect what?
Immunity. When you have
right.
perfect immunity, it is a gift from God. Meaning, it does not.
I agree.
It doesn't surprise you. It's oh, look at that. It tries to give you a shock. The shock is the irritation. So,
right.
it well, will come
I
again.
Felt shocked. 10 years ago, when the voice said, "Punch him in the face," that was a shock. I wasn't ready for it, and I don't get it all the time.
But the shock made you do it. The shock makes you do it or repress it. Either way.
Right, right.
And so the shock is
in the drugstore, I was ready for it, even though I didn't know it was coming.
Let me ask you a question.
It didn't shock me. It just, I was really aware of it. I go, no, I know that wasn't me. That wasn't me. And I had faith in the fact that I heard you and your son talking to other people. That's not you. That impulse, that voice isn't you, and I didn't have faith in that before.
Well, now you know it knows. And it's not out yet. But it knows you know, and it has to be more slimy. Much more
right.
subtle. But never mind what it is. I just want you to ask you before I go on. Did you ever have a shock like the shock that was behind the behavior? Did you have a shock with your parent or something? Or this is the first time you got shocked?
Yes, there were a bunch of times, but
what was one of the times? Was it parents?
My dad was a violent man.
But did he shock you? Did he shock you like that? Because the shock is an indication of something
yes.
special.
Yes. Yes, he would hit a hair trigger temper.
Before you know it, he shocked you. He just wasn't
yes.
cruel, only cruel. And persistently cruel and impatient, before you know it, he's on you. Shock.
Correct.
Okay.
That did happen, yes.
Well, so that's why shock has a sustaining aspect. Just like if you were to make it stretch it in a long way, if you were in Hitler Germany or in some where there was tyranny, a tyrant. The tyrant would have pictures of himself everywhere to keep alive the shock of what he's done to you and your country.
Right.
And so the very fact, now I told you the other day, a lady said, who's my friend? I've helped her tremendously. She's very grateful. She's not the person that she was many years ago. She's 70 years old today. As happy as a clown, really is. So, but what she did something nice. And when we finished talking, I, you know, went to the door with her to let her out. And I said, take care. And all of a sudden, there was a little shock. She said, what did you say? I said, take care. She said, you know what? I'd never noticed it before. But my mother, who was violent with me and cruel, when she finished being cruel with me, she will say, okay, see you later, take care. And then that caused her to rebel. That was a signal to rebel. And so every time somebody says innocently, take care, and means it, it will set in motion all kinds of bad behavior.
Right.
I'm not taking care. I'm going to walk along up a precipice. I'm going to stand on my head until my face is turning green. Got it?
Right.
And once she saw that, it was gone. And the only reason why it was gone for her, she trusted in me. Because if there was anybody else, that trigger would make her worse and worse and worse. But she's getting better and better and better, and it came to this one of these tricks of the dark side, which is a programming is in place. And if you can see the programming and stand back and say, wait a minute, and see it, even though you got the reaction, the fact that you got the reaction and see it dissolves it.
Right.
See that?
I've
does that give you a clue how to deal with it?
I've been meditating for a long time, for 34 years.
Yes.
And I know you say you should see it after the first time, and I didn't even. I did the very first time I meditated. I remember it. You used to say you'll see colors more clearly, and I remember that's the first. I opened up my eyes, and I'm like, "Wow, that's true." I did see colors more clearly after like 15 minutes.
Everything more
clear. But then I strayed, which was a big mistake.
Yes.
And I've had a lot of health problems and stuff. And I was thinking that maybe it would be good to come out and see you.
No, it's not necessary.
I mean, I would love to just have it happen at home, have a change in me at home, but it doesn't seem to be happening. I am meditating. I see the pixels. My hand is tingling, but my health is just about the same. It's not good. I have a disease.
May I suggest to you and thousands of people out there that it would be, while I'm still alive, a good idea to visit Tall Timber Ranch just for a couple of hours on Sunday morning and go home. Because
right.
I can do things with my presence.
I know
a
that.
Little better than with my voice.
The thing is, I had seen you in Boston when you used to come to Boston in the 90s and maybe in the 80s and maybe once after 2000 or so. And as soon as you at the end or middle, you pull out the cross, I would slink out the back. and I always knew that. And I said, why am I doing that? But now I've had health problems and other disasters everywhere, and I've gone through a lot of suffering, which I think was necessary. And
yes, it is. It's a good thing if you see how you've strayed by virtue of trying to struggle with yourself and try to fix yourself and allowing yourself to be, you know, loved by all the wrong kinds of people.
Right, but now I think it's buried so deep inside me. It was like so.
No, that's
off,
not. That's
like,
not a
no,
problem.
I got to do something else today.
Yes, but see, that's not a real problem to your Creator. Can you imagine the majesty of creation? How big the universe is, from the tiniest little thing to the biggest thing and the living things. Can you understand that He created you in His image? And can you not understand how easy it would be to redeem you from all that?
Yeah.
All you need is a longing. That's all. But the trouble is, the longing has been to the outside world and not to the inside. It's the 180 degrees difference, isn't it?
But I've been meditating sincerely for...
Yeah, but meditation does not cure you.
I almost said I hate when you said that.
Meditation doesn't cure you. Okay, don't go away. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I like talking to you, Joe. Well, let me give the phone number because we've got just a couple of people waiting, but I'm enjoying Joe, and then we can speak to John. Can John wait just a little bit? Ask him if it's okay for him to wait just a little bit. Would you, David? Thank you. All right. So, Joe, don't despair, please. Just realize you made a mistake, and perhaps there's a foolish reason. You know, the lady from India, she was understanding English sufficiently enough to use the 7-minute meditation. But then I asked you a few questions, and I said about something about sex and love. She didn't say that exactly, but what she got, she didn't have the sex. That's fine, I trust that. But she has a man that she thought was good, and he was disappointing. And there's a resentment in the disappointment which throws her off track. It doesn't take much, because you see, what you need to do is to learn to deal with evil, overcome it with good. And so the way you win trials and tribulations is not losing your cool, not being angry. Learn to overcome the overcomer and the trials and tribulations of every single moment. Whether you're in prison for 100 years, you'll come out a better person. It doesn't matter, because you may not have to do anything more than endure and make, and in that duration of enduring, the gods and the meaningness of everybody, you will grow and grow and grow and grow until, even if you never left this prison, you will be free, because this life is very short. My 88 years, bang, just like a second. 88 years, just like a second. And the next few years, even more so. Because I live in a timeless realm. My body lives in a time realm, and it has so much to live. And then there's a time to what we call dying. But Jesus makes the point. It's his endurance. That's what he displayed. His endurance, and not hurting the hurter, not hating the hurter. Forget the last words you hear him say, and many people, all they see is, why does he say that? What's the use of that? No, it's just the most important of all. Everybody who did harm to him had a behavior, a hypnotic behavior, an allegiance to the powers that be, which they call, you know, Rome, imperial, you know, dictators, and a whole string of people subject to imperial dictators and taskmasters. But see, what he says, with the last person on the chain who was banging nails into his feet, could not help but do it. He's conditioned beyond comprehension. Perhaps not, like the thief on the cross. One said, but we deserve it. The other one mocked Jesus and died. Two different things. So the person who is putting holes in Jesus and torturing him, they could both be redeemed if this, they did that and recognize it as a compulsion. or get somebody else to do it in the face of the fact that they might be murdered and killed for disobedience. There's going to come a time in America where things are going to be like this. It's already that way for men so far. All right. So I'm done with you now. I do hope that's useful. In other words, from now onwards, watch out for intimidation. Watch out for frustration. And frustration means you have a goal other than what's good. Damn it if you get it. Damned if you don't attain it. And so you have to unfold the story. I have a huge story. And the end of Jesus' story, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," is evidence of a hypnotic state. Because of hypnotic state, a person will utter the words of others as if they were his own. That's it. Thank you very much for calling, Joe. Getting a little hoarse. Drink a little lemonade while I'm waiting for Joe. Are you there, Joe? Hello? Oh, hello, Joe. What do you know, Joe?
Can you hear me?
I can.
You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay, I had a couple of quick questions. You can just say yes, no, whatever. I know you want to probably get on. I have been driving around in my truck and not meditating or anything because I'm driving, but all of a sudden my hand starts to tingle and it heats up as if I was. Is that...
That's neat. That's neat.
I think that's a good sign. I think
yes,
God
is
texting me saying,
yes,
I haven't given up on you. That's what I think about it.
Yes, it is.
It's just near. I mean, he's near anyway. It's hard to explain him.
Yes, I know.
And the other thing is, this is really weird. I've never heard anyone talk about this, but sometimes, and it can happen in the daytime, it happens at night. It's only happened to like 4 or 5 times in the last year. My back will be to my front door, and let's say it's dark out, and I'm putting my key in. My driveway is directly behind me, and I'll see light, like someone just pulled into my driveway, and I'll wheel around, and there's no car there. It's like there's light coming out from behind my eyeballs.
I like that, too.
I've had that in the morning, too. I go, someone's pulling up the driveway. I turn around. No one's there. And there's no light. I thought there's a light on behind me. Have you ever had that?
Oh, yes, because I have expressed it many times that intuition is a receptor of the light from within. So it is like your eyes are shining outward so that you can see people's thinking and you can see the purpose of everything. Not just see it like an animal, but perceive it deeply and enjoy the perception of it, the depth of it, of the light that gives you the understanding of who made the universe and how beautiful everything is.
I just thought I have optic problems or something. And then I started thinking about that, and it only lasts for like 3 or 4 seconds. Then I thought maybe that's the light that you're not supposed to know about. If God is really working through you and you go into a room and look at people and stuff, that invisible light is coming out and affecting things
that you don't even know it is. In my case, I can't see any light coming. I can see... I've gone past the stage where I see my thoughts and they're not my thoughts. We've got to see them. I've gone through the stages where just I'm ordinary me and I can see everything everywhere all the time, anytime. Make some commercial.
You don't conquer stress. Stress will conquer you. Dr. George Hader, psychiatrist and diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
It's the only approach that I've ever seen in the whole field of psychology which allows you to become and independent, which doesn't just set you up to take the next course in whatever type of psychology that you may be studying. It truly teaches you how to understand yourself and make decisions on your own and gradually grow as a person, become more confident and more effective.
Be still and know. Visit FHU.com and download the concentration exercise entitled Be Still and Know. Be Still and Know is rooted in ancient biblical principles that help you fight those unseen forces that up until now you have not understood. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227. Be Still and Know and begin a new life free of fear, worry, and struggle.
Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude, you're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life.
Are you struggling with a sexual problem? You need to read Roy Masters' book, Understanding Sexuality. In Roy Masters' book, he says, "The great white father of psychiatry, Sigmund Freud, came very close to basic truth, but before he had quite reached it, he veered off into the outer reaches of scientific confusion. If only he had been able to view the facts that his searching mind uncovered by the light of spiritual discernment, he might have discovered the truth about man's nature. He might have discovered, for instance, that the sex drive in man is somehow linked with and blossoms from a traumatic experience with a parent long forgotten. Of course, but nonetheless, there at the core of his being, surrounded and hidden by the concentric growth rings of subsequent traumatic experience that have binded him to the original violation of his human identity." It's Understanding Sexuality by Roy Masters. Go to FHU.com, FHU.com, or call 1-800-877-3227, or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528.
Untold thousands have acquired helpful insight into their lives through help from the Foundation of Human Understanding. Your donations and continued patronage allow us to continue our work to improve the human condition. Through our radio extension of Advice Line with Roy Masters and our website at FHU.com, we will continue to offer answers to the tough questions that life presents. Great inner peace can be discovered through the practice of meditation. Roy Masters offers his meditation exercise titled Be Still and Know on the Foundation's website, FHU.com. Now you can release the binds that tie you, learn to break those unhealthy addictions, overcome anger, rage, and insecurity. It all begins with a proper mindset. The Foundation website offers you the gateway to a more meaningful existence. Inner peace can be discovered through the practice of meditation, titled Be Still and Know at FHU.com. You can also call the Foundation Monday through Friday at 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Hello, Joe again. I give you some last thoughts, if you don't mind.
What's that?
I'm going to give you some last thoughts.
Okay.
I want you to just be aware. The meditation does not cure anything. No meditation.
I know, but you
can't ask.
Relied on.
No, let me finish. We've had enough conversations, so I just want to finish off with you, and we can talk again another day. We have another caller and other callers here too. But with all due respect, if you will just meditate and ask for nothing, and not meditate to be rich or to have your cancer cured, not anything But whatever it is he wants, just open your, use the meditation because it opens the door. And if you just say willing, if you have a, I can't find the words for it, but a, I'm going to try to find this word, an inclination, a sweet inclination you had when you were a little boy, perhaps in your mother's womb. If you have that, that is all you need. That, in another word, that entitles you to redemption, which you haven't lost. It was there before you were born, and so all you have to do is recall. Just be let me get you to remember that kind of inclination. What is it all about?
That's very helpful.
That's it.
When I was a child, I never meditated, though, but I was so happy.
You didn't need to. You didn't need to, only when the world crowded in and got you. And so now...
Are children meditating ceaselessly?
Yes, I was a child meditating ceaselessly. I didn't know that I was doing it.
And then the world pulls them away like it did me.
Yes, sir. So therefore, it says, if I may say so, unless you become like that you were before as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom. That's all you need, is that little boy, and not make everything so complicated. Which you did by trying to fix everything that was put in you. It wasn't your fault anyway.
Because my ego is because I tend to meditate.
Yeah, but your ego isn't you.
At a time.
The ego is not you. That I didn't have an ego. My brother had one because he was jealous when he was a little boy. See that? And there's a long story to that. But I was free. Services. I was free. Not that I was perfect, and not that I did not have my failures, because without them I would not be able to understand anything. You are born perfect, but the world you live in, which my world wasn't so bad until World War II, and then it began, and marriage made it worse. But then I got better, because everything that happened to me is that it happens for good for those that love the Lord. So I'm 64 years married, and I'm taking care of my wife, so we're old together. I'm still taking care of her, even though she's a little, difficult. Never mind. You can't force a person to love God. And it's in there. I can see it in there, beginning to emerge. And even if it's the last day, like the thief on the cross, I will be that Jesus to her. I will be that to her, and she knows it. See that? So, yes, that's all I need to do. So let me go to my other call now.
Okay.
And one more thing. Just when things happen, don't take so seriously. Whatever it is, it is. And let it take care of itself. You see how magical that becomes.
Right, but the advice about, I'm trying to think about how I felt when I was a little boy before I was... changed.
Yeah,
life,
but you know? Already have that. In other words,
you're right. I do.
You had that thought in your mind, and God put it there, and you accepted it, and you didn't even know that. And so now comes the time for, where are you now? I need you. I see my suffering. I can't help myself. So don't help yourself. Be still, and know it. He will come to you, and I cannot explain the magic of that.
Right, I believe that.
All right, my friend, I'm going to go talk to another call. Hello, John. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. Is he there? Oh, what a shame. Yeah, did you keep talking to him a little bit? Oh dear, what a shame. Oh, well, I hope so. I hope he's calling because he can hear me. Oh, he hit the wrong button. It would have been just a nice finish. His toe was just amputated. And when I looked at the screen, I saw immediately the possibility of diabetes. Because the blood doesn't flow down there. If you could have a small scratch, the blood flow, because of diabetes, it doesn't reach. You could lose your leg from a scratch because if it doesn't heal, the blood is not getting there. So you have to cut the leg to where the blood is flowing. So if you have diabetes, that's one of the horrors. One of the horrors. There's many horrors in diabetes. But you see, that's one of the many horrors of it, because you have to have, if you're going to have your life, if you're not going to get poisoned and suffer from some other thing that I can't remember the name of, you will die. So you have to lose your leg because of your toe. Now, I would just, a year ago, I got up in the middle of the night and tripped over something and cut open my left toe. It was a big one. I thought it was small because I couldn't see the cut because of the crink in the skin. But it was very badly cut. And I put the usual things over it. And eventually I had to go to urgent care. And he says, this should have been stitched a long time ago. But remember, I'm a diabetic, meaning I have to be careful what I eat. Had I not been careful what I eat, I would have lost the toe. I would have lost the leg. But because I am aware of not to eat this and that and check occasionally, I hardly check it at all. I did it the first time in about 6 months because I know what is good. I know what is not good, and therefore I do it. But because I'm still a diabetic, and the reason behind that is another story. It has to do with swimming in the ocean and being poisoned by stuff from the sewage plant, etc., etc. So that, leave it that as it will. You can talk to me about that tomorrow. Is he back again? Because you still have him up there. Would you take him down there? Because I keep on thinking, I've done. Okay, thank you so much. So I want that actually answers some questions about what I wanted to say yesterday and the day before yesterday, which I tried my best to get people who are overweight to call on the air and to let me express it, the danger of eating so much. And so I can't do that now, but I'd like to sort of set you up for tomorrow. And I don't mind. I wish all of you who are overweight, all of you who have diabetes, there's coming a time when help was not available, when food is not available. Because you set the stage by your inability to perceive reality and to see lies as truth and truth as lies. Because of that, and you don't see that you see truth as lies and lies as truth, you're easily filled by a smiling face. And easily motivated by brutality. Are you not? And this accounts to a bigger portion of America than you can possibly imagine. And if you go to the mall or go to, a big store, huge store, like Fred Meyer. I don't know if you've ever heard that. It's huge. And if you look at the shape of the people there, if you can see the shape, and you were the enemy of America, you say, wow, it's these people are pushover. And they know it. And because you are not as fit as you could be, and as clear as you could be in your life, in your comings and goings, in your dealing with your children, all of which stifle you because you do not know how much harm you're doing, thinking that what you're doing is the doing, but it's undoing of everything. I say to you that the chances are 100 to 1 that you're not yourself, that you think you are, that to make a point, if you're in Borneo, you'd be a cannibal. And you would be afraid to be other than that, because if you began to shine and become other than that, you'd be in the soup pot. So you have a fear of outspokenness, which is called politically correct. That politically correct is cowardice and a loss of freedom. You see that? If you're politically anything correct, it's not correct. So now the question arises, how do I get out of politically correct without bothering my next door neighbor? Well, let's assuming he's a socialist. But he's a friendly socialist, don't get me wrong. But the only truth is a bad person and a good person, it doesn't matter whether they're race or color or creed, it doesn't. Because everybody of every race and color and creed have only those two choices. So it shouldn't be political. And so it's okay to speak up at an appropriate moment, which propriety will be given to you instantly without you even realizing no, you've said it or done it. All right. So maybe this is a little time to set the stage of tomorrow's program. And I look through my files. I've got hundreds, thousands of articles. Did I write that? Is that me talking? I can't remember what I... If I do a seminar on Sunday, I forgot it on Monday. If I write something, I'm looking at the screen, March 29, 1968. And then on screen, the other one was January 24, 1962. I'm rewriting things. How did I get to write that so to the point? Then, only as a whippersnapper. Exactly, I wasn't a whippersnapper because I've been on the air for 65 years. Actually, this will be 66 years coming soon. And I came into this world, I came into from Houston, Texas, having spent several years in the Institute of Hypnosis and discovering that hypnosis is what spiritual people call sin. And I beg you, when you hear hypnosis, it don't ever go to them, or do not let your psychiatrist hypnotize you. Do not, it's not curable. The state will own, the fact that he will move in a way that everybody else can move in when they see your vulnerability to authority and add misery to it in the cure. In this case, it's meant to cure, but because it doesn't cure, It only makes you more dependent on the person who says he can cure. And for that, you will suffer and die. I am anti-hypnotic states. I teach anti-hypnosis, counter-hypnosis, which is parallel to redemption from it, and has a power over the wicked. Yes, instead of the wicked having power over you. Go to my website, fhu.com, and support my broadcast, please.
To Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Hello, Jason. What can I do for you?
I just had a question. Seeing myself and all the judgment that I do.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, and just seeing it like all the way back to, you know, throughout my whole life. And I just think that seeing it is a gift. And
yes, it is. Absolutely.
And so I'm seeing it now, but I just have like this, I don't know, feeling or whatnot that I just, like I have to do something more or do something to
be free of it. No, you don't.
I'm stuck.
No, you're not stuck. Really, all you have to do is to have this attitude. Oh, I see that. See, that's all. Oh, and you, as you're about to judge again, the light shines on it, and then it prevents you from reacting. It almost reacts, but the light shining on it is relief. That's all. So now, what do you do with it? You see that you're angry and resentful.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps you need to go to someone. And so I have a little story to tell you about that. So I had a plumber come in to my house more than 50 years ago, 60 years ago. And he did a lousy job. But I started to resent him. So this is what I did. I said, "Hey, Joe, I just have to tell you something. Don't want to hurt your feelings, but I just hated you." He said, "What for?" I said, "Well, you did a lousy job, but there's no reason for me to be angry with you. I just needed to tell you I'm angry with you, and I'm sorry I'm angry." He says, "That's all right." And we went on. No, it's that simple. And then another time, it happens differently. I had a truck for sale. It's a different situation. And a person came in, and we made a deal. But money hadn't changed hands yet. Another person comes up and says, "I'll give you $200 more for that." I said, "Then you give that $200 more to this person who now owns the truck." See, but most people will say, "Oh, I want the $200. No, it's an agreement. And I was a diamond cutter too. And it's all about decorum as well. It's not just about being angry, but it's decorum, doing the right thing. So I'm a diamond cutter by profession, so I know my business. I can take old diamonds and make beautiful stones out of them. And I used to sell diamonds in a little store upstairs in a bank. And a man called in and he said, "I want appraisal for this. I want to get a house. And this is a down payment on a house. If you give me a good appraisal, if you know what I mean." I said, "Come on in." And when I come in, he's got really junk. And so when the other man came in to do business with me, I said, I want you to know what I did to him. I said that this is junk, and you know it. And I'm going to give the person you're doing business with the actual value of it. Because you're a cheat. You asked me to cheat, so goodbye. So when the man came in to, I told him that, he said, how do you do that? Would you like to have that house? It was a house on the water. You know, one that goes out in the ocean. And he said, I said, I've only got my mother's ring and I'm not very sentimental. I can give you the rough price of it. That's good enough. He says, it's good enough and I got a house. See, but these things happen. I got another one. it's all about decorum, too. So I just want to emphasize that because the right thing to do is the right thing to do. So a lady comes in Christmas, I'm not doing my business going around giving lectures. So I'm in a store, in a diamond store, and people come in and they're looking at the diamond and she said, oh, this is beautiful. I said, says, just a minute, young lady. And they're sitting there considering it. I said, you know what this man wants? He just wants a nice weekend. And the manager heard me and they walked out. Next day they came in and they bought the diamond. See, we're going to get married now.
Yeah.
It did it right. It makes a difference in someone's life, don't you see?
Yeah.
That's how you have to be used. It's not all about you, don't you see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure.
See, because that's where anger, guilt and anger and frustration come from not doing the right thing. Just by thinking that life's all about you, how much you can get.
Yeah.
So is that helpful?
Yeah, it is very much so. I just kind of got hung up on that. But yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, is that part of it that I don't often talk about? But I thought just it came to me to, because I know if you're judgmental, you can't be terribly honest about things. Because you could actually enjoy judging one to somebody while you're smiling.
Oh yeah, totally. That's exactly what I've done. It's a cover up. You judge them, and then you flatter them to cover up.
I think you're in good shape, my friend.
Yeah.
Will you call me again one day when you start?
I will. Thanks.
I look forward to your voice. Thank you so much. We got to go now. That was a nice, very nice conversation. I do hope you understand, ladies and gentlemen, life is not about you. It's more than that. Please call my office, 800-866-8883, if they can help you. But do your business on the web as much as you can, or fhu.com. Or if you want to send a check, it's Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to talk about how to get and keep... Oh, tomorrow's Saturday, Monday. How to get and keep your children out of trouble. It will work for a while, but once they get free, they have to find their own way and suffer a little bit. Of course, you can't make them perfect, but you have to give them the means of how they can stay perfect, I mean, become perfect and be remorseful in a good way. So that's what I'm going to talk on Monday. Tell your friends. Support the program with your graciousness. Thank you very much. I wish everybody who listens to me would give something. And maybe regularly to keep me on the air so others may live. God bless.